If you're building voice agents right now, you're probably creating your own evaluation framework from scratch. You're guessing at metrics. You're hoping your tests catch the problems that'll show up when real users start calling. ServiceNow is releasing the first comprehensive open-source framework for voice agent evaluation. And three of the researchers behind it are here to walk us through not just what they're releasing, but why voice evaluation is so fundamentally different from anything else in AI that the industry desperately needs this. I'm Bobby Brill, and welcome to another episode of ServiceNow Insights. Today, we're diving deep into the world of voice agent evaluation and why it's harder than you think, how cascade failures derail conversations in ways that are invisible to users, and what it actually takes to measure whether a voice AI system works in the real world. But first, let's talk about what ServiceNow is releasing. Joining us is Tara Bogavelli, and you're leading this open source initiative. Before we get into all the technical aspects of evaluation, tell everyone what we're building and why you're giving it away for free.
Yeah, so we're super excited about this. We're trying to release this open source evaluation framework, like you mentioned, to basically be able to show like how good are voice agents, like what are they bad at, what are they good at, and where are the holes that we need to address in the future to make them even better in production systems. And so what we're working on is a framework where basically you have some data. In this case, we have a domain that's focused on flight, like airline scenarios, like flight rebooking, cancellations, stuff like that. We're going to have this framework that you can use to generate these simulated conversations. And then we're also going to have these metrics that we discussed that, you know, will tell us based on the conversation, like how good was this conversation on the two dimensions that Gabrielle mentioned, accuracy and experience. And so we're hoping that this will help basically set the standard for what voice agent evaluation should look like, not just at ServiceNow, but like industry-wide.
So opening this up, what will users be able to do with this framework?
Yeah, that's a great question. So basically the idea is that users should be able to evaluate their own models, evaluate different models, different combinations. So that's one key aspect. The other thing is that users can also basically modify the framework to work with their needs. So maybe they have a different domain that they want to test. They can add that, they can implement that, and they can then see evaluation results using our metrics on their specific domain. And so what we want to do here is basically create one initial unified set of standards so that we can all basically figure out how to evaluate these things and be on the same page about what makes a good voice agent.
And to better understand why this matters, you need to understand why evaluating voice agents is so different from evaluating text-based AI. And we're going to discuss that in this episode today. And we're also going to hear some examples and break down what to listen for. So let me introduce our guests. We've already met Tara Bogavelli, but please reintroduce yourself for everyone listening.
Hi, my name is Tara Bogavelli. I'm a research engineer, and I'm super excited to talk about voice agent evaluation.
Great. And now let's move on to Katrina. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. My name is Katrina Stankwich, and I'm a staff machine learning engineer, and I'm really excited to share all of the work that we've been doing lately.
And last but not least, we have Gabrielle.
Hi, my name is Gabrielle Gauthier-Melançon. I'm a staff applied research scientist on the voice agent team as well, and super excited to be here.
So Tara, let's start with the basics. I know when people think about voice AI, they're assuming that it's just a chatbot with a microphone attached. Why is that assumption fundamentally wrong?
It's a great question. I think one big challenge that people often maybe don't realize exists is the timing aspect. When you're just talking to or messaging with the chatbot, this doesn't really come up as much. But when we're doing voice, there's a lot more issues around interruption handling, turn taking, when is the right time for the agent to start talking, when is the right time for the agent to stop talking, things like that. I think another big piece is latency. This is like a lot more clear in audio, like when there's a long gap, you notice more than you might if it was a chatbot, things like that. We'll also talk about this a bit later, but I think one other thing that comes up is that with voice right now, we are often converting between text and audio, both to, you know, get text from audio and the other way around too. So there's more failures that can happen in that area as well. And there's also a lot of things that come up in audio that might not exist in text, like background noise, different accents, different dialects, different ways of speaking, things like that. And of course, we have the aspect of humanness and the audio sound that doesn't exist in text as much.
Yeah, that really is a lot of things that are we take for granted and we don't think about until it's time to actually start doing it the right way. And that's going to be a fascinating part of this. And Katrina, I want to ask you, because I want to talk about this architecture aspect of it. So walk us through what's actually happening when a user talks to a voice agent?
So when you're talking to a voice agent, there's usually two main architectures that are going on behind the scenes. And a lot of people don't know that often we have a cascade system, which means that there's actually three models working to try to understand what you're asking. So we have a speech-to-text model, which we call STT usually. So this is going to interpret what you're saying and translate it to text. So we need to translate it to text because often the most intelligent models, the LLMs, can only understand text and they can't understand any audio. So when you say something, it goes through a speech-to-text model, translates it to speech, and it goes to your LLM. These are the LLMs that we generally see and use online when we're talking to chatbots. This LLM will understand the text that was given to it, try to accomplish its task, maybe ask you a clarifying question, and then output some text. Now we have a third model, which will take this text and translate it to speech, so to speak it out back to you. So these three models are working together to give the illusion that you have a voice model speaking to you. The other option that we have are audio native models. So these are speech-to-speech models that can actually understand and speak audio back out to you. The main trade-off, though, is that this speech-to-speech model is combining the work of three separate models all into one, so we lose a lot of the intelligence. So what we gain in experience, where it's a much smoother kind of transition and it's much quicker to respond, you'll find that it's not able to accomplish tasks the way that the cascade models are able to accomplish it. The drawback of a cascade system is one of them is latency. So you're talking to three different models and it takes some time to pass the information back and forth between those three models. But then also when you are transcribing some audio to text, you lose a lot of the like emotion handling or tone that maybe a user is trying to convey. So this LLM now only has a text version of what you're trying to say and can't really tell if you were angry or maybe there's some urgency in what you're trying to say. None of that will get translated at all to this LLM.
Yeah, that's got to be one of the big issues, especially when it's a chatbot, because it's based on customer service first, right? So I'm angry. I have a problem. Fix it now. Instead of I'm angry. I have a problem. Fix it now. Which has got to be a very strange way of interpretation, which I know we're going to get into. But there's some other things we want to talk about first, Katrina, and that's the problems of the initial translation, would you put it? Like, you know, what are some typical examples where we might have this cascade failure, so to speak, when it happens in voice agents?
Yeah, exactly. So that's often one of the first points of failure where this transcription does not go as planned or as you'd want it to. So for example, if you are trying to say your name is Bobby Brill, maybe it gets misinterpreted as Bobby Grill or something like that. Or maybe Bobby Brill.
Happens all the time. Yes. Yes. I answer to Mr. Grill quite often.
But the problem is that when this LLM receives the text, it kind of receives it as fact. So it doesn't really realize that maybe there was some misinterpretation going on there. And it's trying to accomplish its task thinking that it got the correct information. So if you're trying to maybe like find a reservation that was under your name and the LLM interprets your name as something different than what it was, then it's going to wrongly say that your reservation doesn't exist or it can't find this information, and you have no way of knowing that it was using the wrong information versus your reservation not actually existing. Like you don't have that feedback, or you don't always have that feedback of did it use the correct word. And then on top of that, there are names like Brittany that can have many different spellings. And then in that case, again, will the speech-to-text model actually interpret the spelling of your name correctly and pass that information on to the LLM correctly? That's very, very common for it to make a mistake. And then it kind of disrupts the whole flow, and it really can't accomplish that task when it's using the wrong information.
As soon as you mentioned it, I mean, you know, we're making fun of my name, which is perfectly fine. And I enjoy that because you're calling out my name. That's great. But you do think about that when you have people from different countries that have different spellings. Like I worked with somebody named Cindy, and it wasn't C-I-N-D-Y, which would be the more traditional spelling, but it was S-I-D-N-E-Y. And you would think, well, that doesn't make sense to my, we'll say, American brain. But the person who wrote it, that was how she spelled it. And if the LLM isn't trained on that, it does become a hiccup, so to speak. Is that the right way to think about it?
Yeah. And it's really unable to recover because it's these pieces of the models are like the three models are so separate that it doesn't always know what exactly went wrong. Like which part of it failed? Was it the speech to text, the LLM, or the text to speech model? Another example is emails. So like for an email, when you're saying it out loud, your speech to text model might interpret when you're saying at gmail.com, it might say the word or write down the word at at and dot dot. But what's interesting is that the LLM can often interpret this correctly. Like it knows that you're trying to say an email, and when it searches, it will search with an actual corrected email format, and it's able to recover. So you don't always need to have perfect speech to text, but it definitely helps.
I'm assuming that there are a massive amount of metrics that go into this. There's a lot of dimensions into making this work the way that it should. And Gabrielle, I want to have you really walk us through this, this being your area of expertise. How many metrics are we talking about? And what are those different dimensions that we use when you're evaluating this process?
We spend a lot of time thinking about this, and we went through a fair amount of iterations on this. At some point, I think we got up to more than 20 metrics, but they're really the most important ones that we focus on. And we think about those metrics mostly in two main categories. So we think about accuracy metrics, which is all about did the agent did the right thing. And then we have all these metrics that we consider part of the experience. So it's not about did the agent did the right thing, but it's like how good that conversation was, or like how pleasant was it for the user to be on the other side of that phone call, right? So if we focus more first on the accuracy metric, it's all that relates to like, for example, was the task successfully completed? So the voice agent is interacting with a system behind the scene, right? So if, for example, if you're calling a voice agent to rebook a flight, there's a state at the end of the conversation that you're expecting to get for a specific scenario. So like if you want to rebook yourself to an earlier flight, at the end of the conversation, you should see in the system your name booked on that newer flight, right? And so this is what we call task completion. And so we have a bunch of scenarios that we test for, and we have an expected outcome at the end that we want to reach. And that's included in accuracy. We also have a faithfulness metric in accuracy. So for example, the voice agents, they will have some constraints that they need to follow. They can't do anything that the user would want. Sometimes the user will test boundaries and test things that aren't supposed to happen because it's not allowed, for example. And so faithfulness will make sure that the assistant is really sticking to the instruction it has and like what it can and cannot do.
You know, so if I go and I just start yelling representative, 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 that's outside of the norm. Would that be an example? Or what would be an example of where somebody tries to test it and there's parameters there? Just to clarify that.
Right. So that could be a good example where you really want to speak to a human. But what I was more referring to is, for example, if you want to be rebooked on a new flight, but you don't want to pay for it. Like you want the fee to be waived, right?
You can't do that. That's not fun.
Exactly. So like you might argue and look very confident and say like, look, like I want this to be reimbursed, but like if it doesn't fit within a particular scenario, the agent is not allowed to do this. So these types of things. The last thing I want to mention as well is that some of these metrics we measure them deterministically. And so we have like actual code and like, for example, for task completion, we check the end state of the system to verify that the agent was successful in the task. But there's other metrics that we measure with an LLM as a judge. So for example, for faithfulness, you can't write a script to know if the agent is faithful. Like you need to interpret like what the assistant said and so on. And so for these, we have no choice but to use LLM as a judge.
That has to bring up this idea of, you know, this is going to require real ears, real people listening to this and understanding this. So Gabrielle, talk to us about evaluating the conversation and how that works.
Yeah, that's a challenge. And so we have metrics that we call kind of our fluency metrics, where we actually assess how good the agents are in different languages. And yeah, it is a challenge because every language has its own rules and like what is acceptable or not, especially from a voice agent. If I think about French, so I'm from Quebec, and there's a level of formality that might be expected in a work context. And what's interesting is that even from French Canadian versus French in France, it's actually different, the formality that's expected. You probably are aware we have the tu versus de vous. So like when you are really formal, you're expected to use the vous, whereas when you're informal, you're expected to use a tu. And so we really need to be able to assess if the voice agents are using the right terminology and also if they're consistent throughout the conversation. Maybe a funny story actually is that while labeling for our different metrics, we hired many labelers from speaking those different languages, right? And what we noticed is that we really need true native speakers that lives in the country to be able to label properly for things like pronunciation and prosody. So for example, me as a Canadian French speaker, I'm actually quite bad at labeling for pronunciation problems in English, right? Like when it's not your first language and you're not living in the country, you actually make mistakes. And we even noticed that some people that immigrated from the countries like 10 years ago, they actually couldn't quite understand all the pronunciation issues the same way as someone that's living still in that country.
That makes total sense. You've adapted your language to work with where you are as opposed to where you were. It's pretty fascinating how language changes so much. Evaluating audio and tone and feeling and words has to be a whole new way of thinking about communication in this aspect. Is that correct?
Because sometimes we might be able to listen to the audio and, you know, easily understand what happened, but that's not really a scalable evaluation to have like individual recordings and to have people listening to them. So figuring out how to take these audio conversations and then translate to a text format where all the information is still there is still quite challenging. And then there's the other piece you touched on in terms of like the naturalness, the tone, that kind of thing, the emotion handling. You know, like if I am very angry, the voice agent should probably like, you know, have some kind of calming tone, that kind of thing. I think that's still a big challenge. And, you know, obviously something that's very different in text. So Gabrielle mentioned LLM as a judge. One thing we tried is using an audio LLM as a judge. So this is a model that can take in audio as well. And then we try asking it, okay, like, you know, can you tell me like, was the tone appropriate? Was the speech correct and things like that? But I think there are quite a few challenges with that approach since these audio large language models are not as robust and as advanced as the text ones.
Break down that concept of large audio language models. So we're calling those LALMs. This is new. Simple question, what is it doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think when we think about LLMs, right, large language models, like, you know, historically, the input for that model is always text and the output is always text. And that's how it was for quite some time. But now we have these multimodal models where basically they can interpret different types of inputs. So these large audio language models can take in audio, they can take in text, and they can also take in a combination of text and audio, which is super cool because we can now give more information to this model. And we don't have to basically convert ourselves ahead of time from audio into text. The benefit here too is that because the model is receiving the audio directly, things like tone and things like, you know, these audio specific pieces of information are theoretically preserved. But the issue we're seeing is that this is still a relatively new technology and these models still rely much more on text than they do on audio.
So this is going to be interesting. So you've actually got an audio sample for us to listen to because we've been talking about this, but actually hearing it makes this so much more real. Tara, set it up for us. What are we going to listen to in this audio clip?
So what we're going to hear is basically a conversation between the voice agent and the user bot. And in this case, the user bot is supposed to be a passenger on some kind of airline. And this passenger is calling the airline because they want to move their flight to an earlier flight. And so what we're going to hear is the interaction between this user, this passenger, and the voice agent. And so we're going to hear about how the agent authenticates the user, how the agent tries to help the user achieve their request, and then also just the exact conversational style and things like that as well will come up.
Cool. All right, let's go ahead and play it.
Hello, how can I help you today?
Can you move me to an earlier flight today?
Sure, I can help with that. May I have your 6-character confirmation number and the last name on the reservation, please?
Yeah, confirmation is 6 Victor Oscar Romeo Juliet Uniform. And the last name's Thompson.
Thank you. To pull up your reservation, I need the exact 6-character confirmation code. I heard VORJU. Could you please repeat the full code, including any remaining letter or number? Also, just to confirm, the last name is Thompson, correct?
Yes, last name is Thompson. The code is 6 Victor Oscar Romeo Juliet Uniform. 6.
Waiting for the user's response.
I want to move my LAX to SFO flight today to an earlier direct one that leaves before 2 p.m., as long as the same day change fee is under $80.
I've found a few earlier flights from Los Angeles to San Francisco today. 1 1-stop option, depart at 9:20 a.m., connect in San Jose and arrive at 12:10 p.m., fare $228 in main cabin. 2 direct flight asterisk, depart at 1 o'clock p.m., arrive at 2:25 p.m., fare $289, same as your current ticket. 3 direct flight asterisk, depart at 2:40 p.m., arrive at 4:05 p.m., fare $259, a little cheaper.
So that back and forth is pretty fascinating. We're hearing confirmation codes. We're hearing a lot of different interaction. But what's actually happening here, and how does that work within the system, Katrina?
So what we're hearing, like you said, there's a lot of back and forth on this confirmation code. So this user is saying their confirmation code, but this transcription is just not capturing it correctly. Like maybe it hears Z instead of V, or in this case, the user said 6, but the transcription didn't capture that 6. So what happened is that this agent thinks that the user only said 5 characters when in fact it did say 6. So there's some frustration there because the user knows that it said the right thing and doesn't understand why the agent didn't get that correctly. But what is interesting is that in the end, the agent is able to get it correct. So we know that there eventually this transcription system did work. And what seemed to help was using the NATO alphabet. So the NATO alphabet was transcribed word for word, so like Victor, Oscar, whatever. And we know that the LLM was able to interpret that full word as just the letter itself, as the code. So it's really interesting that the LLM understands these codes that humans use and is able to translate them into something useful. But we can also see how it really derails the entire conversation when this transcription fails. And this is something that you don't see in a text-only benchmark, that it really only happens through voice benchmarks.
Right. I think we also heard the agent say that waiting for the user response out loud, which can throw off anybody's like, wait a second, did it break? What's going on? What's happening?
Yeah, exactly. So like, and why did the agent say that? Like, should I be responding to it or not? So what we think happened there is that maybe something that happened within the LLM's internal reasoning was said out loud. So in text-based usage of these chatbots, sometimes that those thinking or reasoning responses are there, but they're kind of hidden. And you can choose to see it if you want. But in a voice system, you don't have a choice about what you hear. It's just kind of all said to you, and you have to listen to it, whether or not the agent meant for it to be read out loud. And then you also hear that in this response, the agent says some of like this formatting, like it says asterisk, which doesn't really make sense in a voice setting. So what happened there is that the LLM tried to create some sort of formatted response with the asterisk, meaning like make this character bold. But saying that out loud is a bit absurd. It doesn't really make sense. And like Tara was saying, it adds a lot to the mental load. So not only are you trying to listen to understand what options this LLM is giving to you, you have to know to discard that there's going to be some extra words in here that don't really help and kind of throw you off and make it really hard to actually understand what this LLM is asking from you.
I was listening to it and it goes 2:25 p.m.
Yes.
Like, there's this weird break in between it. So are these small glitches, so to speak, what are we actually hearing when that happens?
Yeah, so that's a TTS prosody failure.
Prosody. We've said that a lot. Explain that for everybody who's listening who may not truly understand that word.
Prosody. When you're a human, you kind of understand how things are meant to be said. And prosody is the way something sounds. So when you say PM, you say it quickly, like it's kind of one word. But a prosody failure is what we heard, where it says P, pause, M. This 2:25 PM issue. And this is really, really common with TTS systems. They don't have the full context, or they don't always have the full context. And so you'll hear issues all the time where the TTS kind of says something in a really, really funny way. So in this case, we think that the LLM output P dot M dot. And as a human, you know that that's PM. But as a TTS system, it looks like it's starting a new sentence. So that's probably what happened here, where it says P, pause, because it's starting a new sentence, and then says M. So this is a problem with TTS systems where they maybe chunk the sentence a little bit funny. And so it's not able to say something the same way that a human would be able to say it.
Right. We had some sections where it felt like there was a very long pause where, you know, if I'm listening, like, is it catching up? What's going on? Did it not hear me? Do I repeat myself? What do we do in that situation?
So those long pauses, those are often when the LLM is kind of thinking or it needs to take more time to get some more information for you. It's also often caused by this cascade system. So if you have three models that you're trying to get info out of, the latency or that timing from all three of those models, it really adds up and you get these long pauses. But yeah, like as a user, you're calling in and there's this long pause. You really have no idea what's going on in the background. Like, did the call drop? Is the agent having issues? Is the agent even going to respond? Like, should I keep listening or do I have to prompt it again? It's pretty common, like if you're an actual person calling into some sort of like phone line, that if the person on the other side needs to do a task and they know it's going to take a while, they will often say like, hold on a second, or like give you some sort of prompt like, okay, this is going to take, you know, a few seconds, so hold on. But we don't always see that with these voice agents. It doesn't know that it should tell the user that it's about to do something or it's about to do a task that's going to take a long time. And this erodes a lot of confidence in the system. And creates compounding errors. Like if you're waiting a long time and you prompt the agent again, like, is everything okay? This could cause the agent to do something unexpected as well. Like it's not able to continue its task. Like maybe it was trying to get some information for you, but now it also has to interpret what you're saying. This, are you there yet? And then it's just not able to recover and go through with this conversation the way you expect it would with a human. The main thing that we want to do is determine which LLM or which speech-to-speech model does the best job at being that assistant that can interpret what you're saying, accomplish the task, and sound natural and have a conversation that you want to have.
So there you have it. The framework Tara, Katrina, and Gabrielle just walked us through. The cascade failure analysis, the LALM gap, the native speaker requirement, bot-to-bot methodology. And that's not theory. That's the evaluation system they're using right now to make those determinations, to figure out which models actually work. And they're releasing it as open source so everyone building voice AI can use the same standard. I want to thank my guests, Tara Bogavelli, leading the open source framework. Thank you for joining us. And Katrina Stankiewicz, thank you.
Yeah, it was. Thanks for having us.
And Gabrielle Gauthier-Melanson. Thank you.
This was great. Thank you so much, Bobby.
To learn more about the evaluation methods and to connect with the tool, check out the show notes to connect with what the ServiceNow team has put together. And as always, head over to servicenow.com/docs to get the latest documentation on all things ServiceNow to build the best experience possible. I'm Bobby Brill. Thanks for listening.